So lots of teenage stuff happening on television, on Netflix, in the movies. And I thought we would talk about some of the great movies about high school or the American teenagers and in general. 312-981-7200. When I say high school movies or movies about teenagers, high school stuff, which ones pop into your head? What are your favorites? We would love to hear from you at 312-981-7200. I certainly have... A bunch that I find really cool. And also we have Colin Suter, who you just heard review movies with us a few minutes ago, put together a list of the American teenage experience through the decades. And he says, this is not a best of list. This, to me, is what the teenage experience in America looks like through the films that depict it in one way or another, starting with Splendor in the Grass, which takes place in 1928, through present day. Not all the films are great. In fact, Summer of 42 is pretty unwatchable. Yes, it is. But it's one of the very few films to depict teenage experience during that time period when it must have sucked to do so without any aid of rock and roll. Some films are more steeped in fantasy than reality, and they still earn their place because of how relevant they are to the teenage experience. There are a lot of 80s films missing on here because there were just too many. Because in the 80s, they were just, you know, there was a high school movie released every week in the 80s, it seemed like. So most of them by John Hughes. But the first one that popped up in my head was indeed a John Hughes movie, and it's The Breakfast Club. That's the first movie. If someone were to say, "What's the great high school movie?" That really is the first one that pops into my head. And it's still, I still think it's. I think it's by far the best movie that John Hughes has ever made. And I still think it holds up today. And there's great performances in it, and it I think it's kind of a landmark movie in that genre. So that would be the first one that popped into my head. Of course, my personal favorite would be Risky Business, which I connected to on a personal level because I saw the movie. I had just graduated high school when I saw the movie, and the movie was about a kid graduating high school. And trying to get into college. And so it was a movie that really it struck me. I was 18. It was a movie that really, really struck me. And another thing about Risky Business was that, first of all, it's a great film. Like a masterpiece. Great. And it came out in a time when if people, you know, you weren't around then, you don't remember. But like every week, there was a teen sex comedy that was being released. There was just these really terrible, sort of stupid teen sex comedies, just about boobs and you know, people playing pranks and just like stupid movies like Porky's and Private School, and just like week after week there would be a terrible, stupid teen sex comedy, and so. When Risky Business came out, and I saw the trailer for it, it's like, oh yeah, man, his parents are gone, yeah, time to turn the house into a brothel, you know, and put Dad's Porsche in the water. And I was like, oh god, you know. So like after a couple of years solid of seeing really horrible teenage movies, I had very low expectations for Risky Business. I really did. And then but 15-20 minutes in, I was like, wait a minute. This is like a real movie. This is like a really good movie. I didn't expect this. So it was one of those movies that not only touched me and I had a personal connection to it, but it really blindsided me. I didn't expect it to be as great as it was. And that's probably my favorite movie about high school. So there you go. Esmeralda, do you have a favorite? Do you have a favorite high school movie?
I wouldn't say I have a favorite, uh-huh. But the one thing that came to mind was Porky's. Because I remember watching one. I remember it was like New Year's Eve.
Uh-huh.
So I remember my parents left and my grandma was visiting. And I was watching it in their room, like secretly.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
It was on USA.
Oh, well, it was edited then.
Right, but still, it was like, oh my gosh.
Porky's.
This is like, I'm not supposed to be watching this.
Yeah. Because there were three Porky's.
I couldn't tell you which one it was.
Okay, it was
there,
one.
I don't know. They probably were all at that bar that was on the water.
That's Porky's.
I think. So then, because yeah. I remember they'd falling.
They fall
like a
into the water.
Bridge, yeah. Not a bridge, but like a little walkway.
Yeah. Like a peer.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that's the first...
I don't know if that was like in all of them or...
No, well, Porky's, the bar that they go to, Porky's, is on the water.
Oh, okay. So
if I remember correctly,
in all the movies?
They probably did in all three of them, yeah.
I mean...
If I remember correctly, that movie takes place in Florida, if I'm remembering correctly, which explains why the bar would be on the water, I think. Maybe. I don't know. Are there any Porky's experts out there?
I just remember like that was the ultimate to me. That's like an old, like the teen thing.
Yeah, no.
That's the first thing when I hear teen movies, I think Porky.
Well, that's, you know, I was in high school when that movie came out, Esmeralda, and it was massive. It was huge. And you're right, it became a notorious movie. It was one of those movies where it was like, ooh, because there's a lot of dirty stuff in it and a lot of boobs and a lot of sex jokes. And it was really raunchy and sort of unapologetically so. And that's the reputation that Porky's got and still has. It still has. So, so Porky's, but yeah, I remember I saw it at the Norwich, like four of my high school buddies, I don't know, it came out in 82, I think. Dan, can you look up when the original Porky's came out? I want to say it was 82. I want to say it was 1982, which means I was either a junior or a senior, in high school. And I went with like three or four of my buddies who I worked with at McDonald's. And so, we all went, and we were all high school aged, and the theater was packed. We went to the Norwich. We saw it at Norwich, and the theater was packed. I mean, there wasn't an empty seat, and everyone was scream laughing except me. Like, I was just kind of like looking at my friends, like, "The hell are you laughing at, man? This isn't funny." Because I think Porky sucks, and so I just kind of sat there, and everybody was having a great time. And afterwards, everybody's like, "Yeah, that was so funny." And I'm like, "No, it wasn't. I don't. What were you guys laughing at?" That ever happened to you, Esmeralda? You ever go see a movie and then you're sitting in the theater and everybody's laughing their ass off and you're just kind of like,
"It, it did. It was when I saw The Village. People weren't laughing, but I was just like, why
aren't you laughing?"
Well, yeah, I was just like, what is this movie and why am I watching it? Yeah. Why am I sitting here?
Yeah. I feel that way about a lot of M. Night Shyamalan's movies. Most of them. I think Split's the only one that I don't dislike. But I remember my ex-wife and I went to go see, she was just my girlfriend at the time, we went to go see Hitch with Will Smith.
Oh, I've seen Hitch.
Okay.
It's on the theater.
Yeah. And so you've seen it.
Yeah, I think I was supposed to go see something, like a movie that hadn't been out yet.
Uh-huh.
They were doing a free screening. Oh, they filled it.
Okay.
And they're like, "You can go see Hitch instead." And I was like, "Oh, okay."
So we go see Hitch, and this was when I was working, because when I was working on the weekends on Fridays, I would review the movies on Friday night. So I would spend the evening or the late afternoon into the evening seeing movies so that I could review them that night. And so Heather would always come down, you know, and meet me, and we'd either go to the River East or we'd go to the 600 North, and we'd see a couple of movies, and she'd go back home in the night stay and do my show and then review the movies on Friday nights. And so I had to see Hitch. So she comes down. We go over to the 600 North Michigan. I'll never forget this. We go in, and people are roaring with laughter, like falling out of their chairs laughing. And Heather and I were looking at each other like seriously, in disbelief. Like, what in God's name are these? What are these people laughing at? Are we missing something? I mean, you know, like, Will Smith is going to teach the fat white guy how to dance. You know, you saw it. It was like, "I'm going to teach Kevin James how to dance, and he's going to smack me in the head. And how about, oh, I'm going to kick Eva Mendez." Remember, there's a scene where they're on, like, a jet ski or something?
Yeah.
And he kicks her in the face, and she goes flying. People falling on the floor. What?
Then he's allergic to something.
Right, he gets like stung and his face swells up. It was a terrible movie. It's an absolutely awful movie. And people, I swear to you, it was like they had never seen anything funny before. This was the first, the first exposure to comedy that was ever given to the people that I saw the movie with. That we saw. And Heather and I walked out like, I don't even understand. Are we on the same planet as these people? It's always weird. Dan, you ever have an experience like that where you went to see a movie and the entire place is having a great time and you're like,
You know, I can't think of one. Usually, like, we've been right in line with the audience. I mean, there's been some where, like, everybody's like, well, this is bad. And I'm like, this is completely awful. But nothing, yeah, nothing drastic where it was like I felt the only person in the theater.
Yeah. That's crazy, crazy. All right, we're talking about high school movies, and we'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200, and we'll talk about the list that Colin put together. Not a best of list, but a list, you know, talking about how teenagers have been portrayed in movies over the years. 312-981-7200 is the phone number, and we'll get you on the air, and we'll get your texts going as well. All right. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're here till 5. My dad's going to call in and tell a joke because it's Monday and it's a jokey-jokey time, and we're talking about high school movies, great high school movies and the experience of American teenagers. Our good buddy Colin Suter put together a list on Letterboxd that is varying movies about the teenage experience. And I also have a list here of 14 great movies about high school, and that's what we're talking about here. 312-981-7200. We got some texts coming in if you want to call in or text 312-981-7200. Dan, what do you have a favorite high school movie?
Yeah, you know, kind of in the Esmeralda vein, not a good movie per se, and but just kind of a favorite because it happened during high school for me was Varsity Blues.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I've seen it since, and there are parts that are still kind of charming and fun, and other parts I'm like, oh, this is a bad movie. But, you know, I was in high school when that occurred, and I'd be interested to see how many people, you know, identify their favorite high school movie as in the same year that they were attending high school.
Sure. That's why I chose Risky Business,
right,
you know.
Right, right, to your point. Yeah. So, but yeah, you know, the infamous "I don't want your life."
Yeah,
you know,
that's the line, best. You know. I love Varsity Blues, man.
It's an entertaining movie.
It really is.
Then you know,
you
and
get the
hijinks,
get the whipped cream bikini, which is always a good thing,
right?
The first time I saw that movie was at Bruin View.
Yeah,
I had missed it for some. I don't know how I missed. I missed a screening. I don't know if they screened it or what. But I didn't see it when it was theatrically in its first run. And so, I saw it at Bruin View. Let me tell you something. That's the perfect.
It is.
That's the perfect environment to see Varsity Blues.
Yeah.
But I legitimately have a fun time watching that movie.
Yeah. It's fun.
And James Vanderbeek's got, again, the biggest head on the planet.
He does. Yeah.
He has a noggin the size of Cleveland. he really does. Esmeralda, are you a Varsity Blues fan?
I remember seeing it a million years ago.
Yeah. It's pretty fun, I think. I mean, I like it. Yeah. All right. Here are some other ones now. We've just got some texts coming in. 708 area code says Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Yeah, I was in high school when that movie came out. That one didn't do it for me. Not so much. I'm in the minority on the Fast Times thing. I'm not a fan of Fast Times at Ridgemont High. And I know that that's very unpopular to say. I mean, I think Sean Penn's funny in it. All the stuff with Spicoli is great, but that's only... You know, Spicoli shows up sporadically in that movie. There's not enough. Pete says, I'm 60. My high school movie was Go Ask Alice. Oh, boy. Heavy movie right there. 920 area code says 1955's Blackboard Jungle is an awesome movie. Yeah, that's a good movie. Blackboard Jungle. Man, I haven't seen that in a really long time. Jay in Ohio says American Graffiti. A terrific movie. If you've never seen American Graffiti, it's the movie that George Lucas made before Star Wars. So before he created Star Wars, that's, you know, was his movie about his high school experience, and it takes place in 1962. Basically all in one night. 815 area code says Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and Valley Girl. You know, they're remaking Valley Girl? Why? That's another one I saw when I was in high school, and that was very specific. Valley Girl's a terrific movie.
Now I'm curious. Did these movies feel like? Could you relate to them?
Valley Girl?
Yeah. Like, could you relate to any of these?
Well, Risky Business.
Usually, I couldn't.
Risky Business. I did completely. I mean, even though I'm not a rich kid from the North Shore, what Joel Goodson was going through in terms of, you know, the pressures he was getting from the family, the pressures he was getting from his friends and stuff. And, you know, the experience of just graduating high school and trying to figure out what's going to happen next. That Risky Business I did identify with. Valley Girl, not so much. I loved it, and I loved the soundtrack, but it was a culture that I was not. I mean, I'm born and bred in Chicago. I've been to California, and I hate California, so I don't. But it did tap into what was huge at that time, and the Valley Girl stuff was huge, and the new wave music was really big.
See, I guess that is the same for, at least for me, Clueless.
Yeah.
It was a very big movie, and everyone just started talking like them, and right. Or at least trying to adopt things. But yeah, I could not relate in any way to Cher.
No, you couldn't? I like Clueless. I think Clueless is a good movie. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. I'm in the minority. I prefer Bogus Journey. I think Bogus Journey's funnier.
Is that where they go see
Death?
Death.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Where they play like Stratego, and they play all these, they beat Death. Beth, by the way, played by Bill Sadler, William Sadler. He's hysterical in it.
And the first one is where they have Lincoln.
Yeah, that's it. They go back and do their book report, and they bring the real people back from time, the real historical figures.
Which one's the one where they have the babies on their backs?
That I think
they
is...
they go to the future, and then they have. They're all grown up and they have babies.
That's I think that's Bogus Journey.
Is that Bogus Journey?
Yeah, Bogus Journey's a weirder movie than the first one. Bogus Journey's a strange. It's a weird. I mean, they go to real weird lengths in the second one. I think it's why I like it more. It's a much weirder movie than the first. They're both funny and I like them both. But yeah, someone said To Sir with Love. And then Tom said, Cooley High is a good movie that deals with subjects that we deal with every day. Yeah, even today. Yeah, Cooley High is a terrific movie. Shot right here in Chicago, Cooley High. I've got a little info on that one because it's by the way, Esmeralda, in this list of 14 great high school movies, Clueless is on here.
Good.
It says, unless you were very rich, your high school was probably not much like Cher's, as you just said. Still, Fast Times at Ridgemont High director Amy Heckerling's hilarious update of Jane Austen's Emma will make you long for the days of mall shopping, learning to drive, petitioning your teachers for better grades, and falling in love with the wrong guy or gal. And also for the days when cell phones were luxury items instead of necessary nuisances. Yeah, that's right. I totally forgot about that. That was right on the cusp of the beginning of the cell phone thing. That's right. You know who I loved in that movie, Esmeralda?
Who?
Dan Hedayah. He plays her father.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Is he funny in that? Well, Dan Hedayah is awesome in everything. But what's the line he has? He says, I got a shovel and I got an empty trunk and a shovel. I don't think anybody's going to be looking for you. Or something like that. He threatens the kid. He threatens to kill the kid and bury him. And, of course, that's the first time I remember seeing Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd popping up and then making out with his stepsister. So, oh boy. Okay. So that one's on there too. So is American Graffiti is on this list that we mentioned. It was just one night. In 1962. One of the greatest soundtracks of all time. I remember when I saw it when we went to go see that movie. Came out in 73, and you've got people like Harrison Ford, Richard Dreyfuss, Ron Howard, all these people. They were, well, Ron Howard, everybody knew who he was already, but a lot of these people, nobody knew who they were. Like Harrison Ford, nobody knew who Harrison Ford was. Suzanne Summers was in it. But I remember when I saw it, my dad went nuts for the soundtrack. Like he went, and I remember he was like, oh, this is the greatest music of all time. So it was the stuff he grew up listening to. So. Okay, we have to break here, and we got the news coming up, and then more great movies about high school and teenage movies, and we'll talk more a little bit about the stuff that Colin put together as well. And that'll happen right after the news, which is next. Welcome back, everybody. Good morning. How are you? It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. The great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. It's Monday morning. That means my dad's going to call in and tell a joke because it's a jokey time. And we are talking about great movies about high school, the teenage experience. Our good friend Colin Suter put together a list for Letterboxd of movies that span different time periods, exploring what it's like to be a teenager. And we're talking about those. And what were the ones that got you when you were growing up? Let's see. Carolyn from Justice said Pretty in Pink of the John Hughes movies. Tony says 3 o'clock High. Do you remember 3 o'clock High, Dan? Did you ever seen 3 o'clock High?
No, can't say that I did.
It's Esmeralda. Have you ever seen that movie?
No.
It's Casey Shamasco here from Chicago. Plays a kid who runs afoul with the school bully and is gonna get beat up at three. And it's about what he's trying to do to fix that or avoid that. And it's Phil Juwano directed it, who would go on to do State of Grace. He did U2's Rattlin' Home.
See, that reminds me of one of my favorites, high school movie.
What's that?
My Bodyguard.
Oh, it's a great movie.
I love that movie.
It's a great movie. Shot right here in Chicago.
Oh, was it really?
Oh, yeah.
See,
I have not
seen that in years. No, I'll have to rewatch it.
It's all Chicago locations. In fact, Lakeview High School was the high school that they used.
Did not know that.
Joan Cusack's first movie. A bunch of Second City alum who were working on the main stage are in that movie. George Wentz in it. Tons of Second City, because it was shot all here, so they got a whole bunch of people from Second City to play different small roles. Ruth Gordon obviously is great. Martin Mull.
That is so cool. I did not know that.
Yeah, it's a terrific movie. It's a tremendous movie, because I was like 14 when that movie came out, so it was like the perfect.
Yep.
That's another one of those movies that affected me in a way because I could identify with it.
Right.
Matt Dillon.
That's when I watched it. Yeah, it was
Matt Dillon, one of his first movies.
Oh, man, that's great.
He's the bad guy.
Oh, he's the bully. Okay.
Yeah. By the way, we got a text from Jesse who says, My Bodyguard is great. So there's another fan of My Bodyguard. Yeah, that's a really, really good movie. 262 area code, 10 Things I Hate About You. But I have, you know, I like that movie when I've only seen it once. Has anybody seen it more? Dan, have you seen 10 Things I Like About You?
You know, I've probably seen bits and pieces of it, but not a full viewing.
I remember really liking it.
Yeah, it's very charming, especially the scene with Heath Ledger singing to Julia Stiles.
Right, at the end, right? Is that, yeah. Or no, that's not at the end.
Kind of midway, yeah,
okay.
Because he's wooing her at that point.
Right. Yeah, I remember really, what happened to Julia Stiles? Whatever happened to her?
She was in the Bourne movies.
Yeah, well, yeah, the last Bourne movie, she got killed off. Like, she's in like three...
now we know.
Yeah, she was big for a while. That last dance with me now. Where's my dancing shoes? What the hell?
Save the Last Dance.
That's the one. And 10 Things I Hate About You. Those are two really big movies for her. That 10 Things I Hate About You is based on Taming of the Shrew, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what I thought, if I remember correctly. I should go back and watch that one again, because I remember really liking it. 847 area code. American Pie, just the first one. It came out my summer between junior and senior year. I think I saw it four or five times in the theater, and it was basically what I wanted my senior year to be. I love American Pie. The other ones all suck. All the sequels, which is too bad, because that first one, American Pie is great. I love that movie. The other thing is, don't they have like 20 of them now? They're all like band camp and they're all like straight to video. American Reunion, I was really disappointed by that. I was very excited about seeing the American. But the first one was great. The first one kind of really surprised me at how much I liked it. And I've told this story before, but I remember when I made my top 10 list that year, and I gave it to Dave Marzullo to put up on because he was the webmaster guy to put up my list. I had American Pie on my top 10 list for 1999, top 10 best movies. And he emailed me back and said, "You mean American Beauty, right? Not American Pie?" And I went, "No, not American Beauty, American Pie. American Pie is 9,000 times better than American Beauty." Dwayne from McHenry, in high school I loved Making the Grade with Judd Nelson. I know it's a bad movie, but I love it. I just watched it last week. You know, that's another one of those movies. It's not good, but it's another one of those movies that I enjoy watching. And if I'm not mistaken, film debut of Andrew Dice Clay, making the Grade. So historically, if you're interested in seeing the very first performance by Andrew Dice Clay, plays a character named Dice. I it was a real stretch. Dan in Marengo says 16 Candles. Yeah, I can't get behind that one. I mean, there are really disgusting things in that movie. It's you know, you don't, I guess when it first came out in 84, I didn't really pay attention to it, but there's really some, like, some, you know, like, sexual assault kind of stuff in it. There's horrible racism. The Long Duck Dong character is one of the most offensive, stereotypical caricatures I've ever seen. I have issues with that movie. There are things about it that I like, and I think Anthony Michael Hall is very funny in it, and I think Molly Ringwald is a treasure, but I have issues with the tone. Tim says, Dazed and Confused. I was 2 in 1976, so I have no idea if it represents what being a teenager was like at that time, but what a great snapshot. Tim, I was 12, so I was 11. And Dazed and Confused is as accurate as accurate a movie about what it's like, because I was hanging out with 14-year-olds and stuff like that at that time. And all the characters in Dazed and Confused are real. That is, you know, although it's very specific to Austin, Texas, you know, it's very specific to Texas, but the music, the clothes, the characters themselves, how distinct they were. I knew Wooderson. My cousin was Wooderson. My cousin was Wooderson. You know, he's hanging out with 14-year-olds, and he's he's like 18 years old. Yeah, no, Dazed and Confused is not only, I mean, it's one of my favorite movies of all time. 219 area code said, I love the movie Breaking Away. It had a huge impact on me. Then a few years later, I was actually able to do a training ride with the cyclist that movie is loosely based upon. Yeah, Breaking Away, we've mentioned many times on this show. Another fantastic movie. And it's Mary Vandeveld's cousin who's in it, right? He was one of the Italians.
Yeah, one of the bikers.
Right, one of the Italian bikers. Not the guy who sticks the stick in the spokes.
Then I can't confirm.
She said that it wasn't him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she told me it wasn't him. Yeah, Breaking Away is a great movie. A great one of my favorites again, too. 847 area code, St. Elmo's Fire was my movie. Right as I was graduating college as a political science major. Okay, well, I can see it having, you know, I could see it that having some sort of impact on you if you're graduating college and you're a political science major. That I can see. But I hate St. Elmo's Fire. I hate that movie. Oh, man. All right, here are a few more here. How about on Colin's list here of experiencing teenage experience through the decades, he's got Back to the Future on here, which I think is a great choice because you get to see teenagers of the 80s and teenagers of the 50s.
And of the future.
Not in Back to the Future. You're only in the 80s and the 50s in Back to the Future. Part two is when they go to the future. Yeah, where we're going, we don't need roads. And then they go back to the Western in the third one. I still like the third one. I don't care. I know a lot of people don't like it, but I do. But I love Back to the Future. It's such a great movie. It's such a classic. How about Peggy Sue Got Married? You guys ever see Peggy Sue Got Married?
I've seen bits and pieces.
Yeah, Kathleen Turner. And a very weird performance from Nicolas Cage, which is not a shocking sentence. Like, oh, wait, Nicolas Cage was weird in a movie? But it's I don't know. Esmeralda, do you remember Nicolas Cage in it?
Yeah.
Because he's way out there. It's like everybody else is sort of playing this realistic kind of, you know, character. And he's doing like a weird Jerry Lewis weird thing with, he had like fake teeth.
Well, didn't they have to age him?
No, did they?
I think they did, because I don't know how old he was, but...
No, because they... I think maybe for the modern day they had to age him, because the movie takes place in two time periods, because they had to flash back. She goes back to high school and relives, you know, the idea is that she's going to relive her high school years having the knowledge that she does as an adult. I haven't seen it in a long time, but and Jim Carrey's in it. It's one of Jim Carrey's first movies. And do you know that Jim Carrey and Nicolas Cage are like best friends? Did you know that, Esmeralda?
That makes sense.
Ask Jen Bosworth about Nicolas Cage's wedding and the conversation that she had with Jim Carrey. Because she went to the, you know, Jen Bosworth, who fills in here from time to time, used to work for Nicolas Cage. You know that, Esmeralda.
Yes.
She was his assistant. And she went to the wedding where he married Lisa Marie Presley. She was at that wedding. And she made a faux pas with Jim Carrey, who was, I think, you know, one of the groomsmen, if I'm not mistaken. So it's a funny story. I can't tell it because I'll ruin it. Have Jen tell it. So, all right, we got a break here. We got weather, we got traffic, and then we got more. We got more of the high school movies and teenage movies to talk about. Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Monday morning, my dad's going to call in and tell a joke because it's a jokey time. Yeah, and we're here till 5. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. We're talking about high school movies, teenage movies, and the good, the bad, and the most memorable, and the ones that touched you. Lots of texts coming in, and let's get to a couple more of them. 708 area code says, Lean on Me with Morgan Freeman, classic high school movie. Hey, Dan, what was the mix-up? Do you remember, Dan, the mix-up that we had on the title of that movie? Do you remember? Somebody said it. Oh, Stand By Me.
There you go.
Somebody said it was Stand By Me.
Right.
Well, you know, it's an easy mix-up. It's three letters, and it's three words, and it's also the name of a classic song.
Right.
So, but Morgan Freeman used to call me Crazy Joe. Now they can call me Batman. Um, 815 area code says Class of 1984 and Taps are good movies. Taps, wow. That's where Tom Cruise plays a loon. He plays a guy who goes complete. It takes place at a military school where Timothy Hutton leads the students to overtake the school after George C. Scott is dead. And they hold everybody, and they hold the place hostage. And Tom Cruise plays he goes completely nuts. It was a very early Tom Cruise movie. That's Tom Cruise's like second movie. You know what Tom Cruise's first movie was, Esmeralda?
What's that?
Endless Love. Do you know Endless Love?
I know the song.
It's the song came from the movie, and the movie starred Brooke Shields and Martin Hewitt. Martin Hewitt was supposed to be the next big thing. It didn't happen. Martin Hewitt. And what happens is he's like completely obsessed with Brooke Shields. And so they're like in the park playing football or something. And Tom Cruise has got like one scene. And he suggests that he tells the Martin Hewitt character to burn her house down or to try to set her house on fire and then save her from the fire. Like be there and be a hero. And then he ends up burning the house down. It was Tom Cruise's fantastic advice. 708 area code, Lucas was a good movie. 630 area code, Grease. Oh, yeah, I mean, John Travolta makes a very, very convincing high school student. So all those people, Stockard Channing, she was like in her 30s when they made that movie. Yeah. That's one you got to just, you know, have a little bit of suspension of disbelief there. 773 area code says, First Nick, enjoy your show very much. Thanks for all you do. Oh, thank you. You and your staff are a huge help keeping me going through the long midnight shifts at work. So there, we're happy to keep you company. Thank you for listening. And then he says, tough turf with. Do we have We Walk the Night? Or I Walk the Night?
It's coming up.
Okay. Tough Turf, starring a young James Spader and Robert Downey Jr. And Kim Richards. Don't forget about Kim Richards. Kim Richards, one of my childhood crushes from the Escape to Witch Mountain movie. Here we go.
The nights in the rain.
Yeah.
I feel your face.
This is James Spader lip syncing in the movie.
I hear your eyes. I know the nights that you cry, but still.
Crazy.
We survive. I walk the night.
Yeah.
I walk the night.
Darling, would you care to dance?
Fighting the darkness that breaks our hearts. We hold each other tight.
Nancy, you get to see this. That we're missing the visuals. I remember when we saw this movie. My friends and I, Scott Oaken, and a bunch of other people, we went to the drive-in. We saw Tough Turf, and it's T-U-F-F, Turf. T-U-F-F, Tough Turf. And he's like the new kid in town, James Spader, and there's a bunch of punks who don't want him around, and he falls for the girl. Kim Richards is the girl who's dating the bad guy. Robert Downey Jr. plays a weirdo he's hanging out with. And I remember when we saw it, and that scene, I swear to you, I don't know if we've laughed harder. And then all we did was sing it. Then it became like, I walk the night. That's became the greatest song in the history of film.
I want to know who actually sang it.
I don't know. We'd have to look up the credits, but it was definitely not James Spader because he's so clearly lip syncing. Dan, you just saw it. He's so clearly lip syncing.
Not fine acting, I'll tell you that.
And also on top of it, it's 1985 that movie came out. So the fashion, I mean, you can't imagine. You should just look at Kim Richards and her hair because her hair is all crimped. She's got like really, really long hair in it, and it's like it must have taken her 4 hours a morning to crimp her hair. And it's a very 80s bad makeup. She's wearing like leopard skin, you know, skirts and lots of belts and stuff. And I think Robert Downey Jr. had like weird hair in it. Oh, that's a legendary movie, Tough Turf. So bad. So they also have a couple of movies on here about reunions. So you might want to tell V, Esmeralda, that considered one of the 14 great movies is Gross Point Blank.
Oh, boy.
And it's about, high school reunion. So they also have the high school reunion movies, which means they also have one of my favorites, Romeo and Michelle's High School Reunion, which I love that movie. I love that movie. Yeah, you've seen it, right, Esmeralda?
Mm-hmm.
And Dan, you've seen Romeo and Michelle?
Yes.
I love that movie so much. And I love that their idea of impressing the people was going to say that they invented Post-it notes.
I mean, wouldn't you be?
Yeah. That was a really funny movie. Lisa Kudrow and Mira Sorvino are really great in that movie. So, let's see. Hairspray, nice musical about being in high school right there. Oh, man, really underrated movie, period movie called Heaven Help Us, which is about a group of guys at a Catholic school growing up in the 60s. And it's Andrew McCarthy, Kevin Dillon, Donald Sutherland is in it, John Hurd, the late, great John Hurd. And it's, I didn't go to Catholic school. Dan, obviously you did. Have you ever seen Heaven Help Us?
No.
Now, they do the, and we've talked about this, though, in the past, because in the movie, they have the deal where you're supposed to put the books on your hands.
The crucifixion book hang.
Yeah. Yeah. And they have that in the movie. And I, all my friends went to Catholic, a lot of my friends went to Catholic school. And they were like, oh, man. When that scene started, they were just like, oh, man, I've been there. Oh, man, have I been there. All right, we got to take a break here on 720 WGN. The news is coming up next, and then more high school movies, teenage movies, and my dad will tell a joke. Hi, everybody. Good morning. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're here till 5 a.m. It's Monday. My dad's going to be calling in a few minutes to tell a joke because it's a jokey time. And we've been talking about high school movies, movies about teenagers, the good ones, your favorites, the ones that that really connected with you. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And if you want to jump in here, and Colin Suter put together a list that you can find on letterboxd.com. There's no E. It's letter B-O-X-D, letterboxd.com. The American Teenage Experience through the decades. And Colin put together this list, not a best of list, but just a list of a bunch of movies that have dealt with the teenage experience. And we're talking a little bit about some of the ones that he put down here. And he's got one of my favorites. One of my favorites of all time is a movie called Over the Edge, and this is Matt Dillon's first movie. My Bodyguard was his second, the first movie was Over the Edge. Over the Edge is about a community of teenagers in this newly built suburb with cul-de-sacs, and there's really nothing to do. It's just a bunch of new buildings and new condos and stuff. And these teenagers have, you know, turned to this movie came out in 1978, 79, 79, early 79. And they turned to drugs and drinking and criminal activities. And then they closed the rec center down. Like, the only place that these kids have to go, the only place that they can spend time without being in the generic sort of condos of the world and adults and stuff and school is this rec center. And then they close it down. So the kids rebel, and they've been doing really bad things and crime and stuff. And so they have an emergency PTA meeting at the high school. All of the adults, all of the parents, all gather together in the gymnasium. And then the kids lock them in the school. They chain them into the school. They lock all the doors. They lock all the adults in the school, and then they just start burning cars and stuff. And they have a riot outside. It is a tremendous movie, a really, really well made movie, a very well acted movie with one of the best soundtracks of all time. It's like 1979, and it's all absolute classic rock. And it's got three songs by, well, first of all, it's got three songs by Cheap Trick on the soundtrack. So right there, that makes it great. But yeah, if you've not seen Over the Edge, a really, really, a really great film and a real movie that captures its time period. Yeah, and especially, you know, that kind of feeling that teenagers were having at that time. There's also Foxes. Esmeralda, have you ever seen the movie Foxes?
No, I haven't.
It's with Jodie Foster, Sherry Curry from The Runaways, isn't it? And Scott Baio, who runs from the skates, has a chase scene on a skateboard, and the cops are chasing him. Scott Baio. Very strange movie, Foxes. Also, good soundtrack. And that was the movie where they made a big deal out of going to see the band Angel. This was when they were trying to push this. The movie came out in 1980, and this band Angel, they were like a early sort of hair band. And I think they were, if I'm not mistaken, I think they were managed by the same team that managed Kiss. And the amazing thing about Angel, I remember the big deal about the band Angel, probably people don't even probably remember Angel, but they were prominently featured in the movie. Like, they really wanted Angel to be huge, so they put them in this movie, Foxes. But the one thing about Angel, that the band, is that if you looked at their logo, the logo of the band, upside down or right side up, it looked the same. So like it said, if you turned the logo upside down, it looked like Angel. Dan, have you ever seen that? The Angel logo?
I have, yes.
It's like if you turn it upside down, oh, look at that, man. That's cool. Upside down or right side up, it's the Angel logo, man. So you would think with that coolness and the fact that they were in the movie Foxes that they would have had a much bigger career. Donnie Darko is on this on the list that Colin put together, which is one of my favorites. It's a great movie. Hey, how about Pump Up the Volume? You ever see Pump Up the Volume, Esmeralda?
I haven't.
It's a great movie. Christian Slater. A really, really great movie. I remember when I saw it, I was like, man, I wish I was 16 and I saw this movie because it would have been sort of life-changing. Dan, you ever see Pump Up the Volume?
Yes.
I love that movie.
I was a little too young to understand it, but definitely like, wow, this thing's something.
Yeah. And it came out of nowhere. I remember when it came out, I was like, what is this? And it was called Pump Up the Volume, you know, like that. But it's about a kid, Christian Slater, who secretly does a radio show, like a ham radio show, and speaks out against what's happening to the teenagers in school. But when he's in school, he's very shy. He wears glasses and everything. But he's like, I can't say his name on the the character's name. But when he's on the radio, he speaks out for everybody. And again, there's like a rebellion. It's a great movie. Pump Up the Volume is a great, great movie if you've never seen it. Perks of Being a Wallflower. That's a pretty recent movie. Really terrific film that I enjoy. Lady Bird is on this list. You want to talk about recent? Terrific movie about growing up and the relationship between a mother and her daughter, which is a terrific movie. Heathers. So you know that they made it. You know they rebooted it for TV, Esmeralda. You heard about that, right?
Oh, I didn't know it was for TV.
Yeah, well, it was for the Paramount Network, if I'm not mistaken. I think.
Oh.
But they pulled it. They pulled it because of the shootings and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Plot of Heathers is about teenagers killing each other, and so they pulled that. So it's and I hear it's really Dan Feinberg saw. Like the first couple of episodes of it, and said it was horrible.
Mm-hmm. Like, it didn't. I saw a trailer for it, and I did not enjoy it.
No, I. Why? You know what I mean? Why?
Yeah, I don't. I don't understand when that's done. When foreign language movies are translated, it's like why?
Yeah,
it's already fine as it is.
Yeah, and Heathers is a great movie. There's no need to mess around. There really isn't. I mean, that movie still is funny and biting and dark and. Winona Ryder and Christian Slater are both great in it. And
yeah, if you want to have another movie talking about rebellion, make up an original one.
Yeah.
Rather than just taking, you know, just a thought. Just write an original movie.
Some of the other ones that Colin has here, Scream, he has. Great teenage horror movie that does take place in high school. Election. Oh my God. Have you ever seen Election?
Have, yeah.
Oh man. I don't think Reese Witherspoon has ever been better than she was in that movie. And I love Reese Witherspoon, but she is so good. Dan, you've seen Election, right?
I have, yes.
Oh man. Tracy Flick, right? Was that her name?
Yes.
Yeah. Vote for Tracy Flick. Alexander Payne, man. Can't go wrong with him. Let's see. Ghost World, good movie. Remember when Thora Birch was the big star and Scarlett Johansson was not?
Yeah.
That's changed. Because I remember Thora Birch was the big draw. Like, she was, you know, she was in, she had done American Beauty. And then she followed it up with that. And it was like this, Thora Birch, she's the next big star. And then, like, 5 years later, it's Scarlett Johansson who's completely taken off.
What has she done lately, Thora Birch?
Nothing, really. I can't even remember if Thora Birch... I can't remember seeing Thora Birch in anything recently. Yeah. How about Mean Girls? I love Mean Girls.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Mean Girls is terrific. Tina Fey wrote it. That was back... Remember when Lindsay Lohan was good? There was that window of time.
There seems to be a thread of all these movies. Like, remember when that person was good?
Yeah. In the case of Lindsay Lohan is really to me that's one of my saddest ones because I loved her when she first hit the scene. I just thought she was the bee's knees, and I loved her. And I was like, "Here's my prediction: this girl is going to have a fantastic career. She's going to win an Oscar." Yeah, that didn't
happen. Yeah,
that didn't happen. You know. I just, it was Mean Girls. I just loved her so much in Mean Girls, and I just thought she was great. And then, wow. Yeah. And it was right around, I was like, then she does that movie with Robert Altman, you know, and I'm thinking, okay, cool. That's a good decision. You know, she had a contract that she had to do. She had a contract, so she had to do the Herbie, the Love Bug movie. But the, you know, Robert Altman's Prairie Home Companion. You know, she's acting with Meryl Streep and all these other great actresses. And then that's when it all, you know, when she was hanging out with Paris Hilton and going out till 5 a.m. every night. And what a waste. She was great. And now she's doing, but hey, by the way, Dan, if you know what she's doing now, tell everybody what she's doing now.
Is it lawyers.com?
Yeah. She's the spokesperson for lawyers.com because she used them to get out of some of her DUIs.
Oh, well, that's good.
I saw the news story on it. I just got so depressed. I was like, come on, Lindsay.
Even Oprah couldn't get her to.
No. No.
To fly straight.
Oh, man. That's sad, man. It really is. It's sad. Okay, we got to take a break here. We got weather, we got traffic, and my dad's going to call in and tell a jokey time. All right, so more T teen movies that we were talking about, movies about teenagers in high school and stuff. Esmeralda, have you seen Edge of 17?
Is that the one where they get the nose rings? Oh, no, that's 13.
That's 13. With Holly Hunter and who's
no,
the kid
No, I don't think I've seen...
Edge of 17 is Hailee Steinfeld. It's from a couple of years ago.
No, I haven't.
It's a really great movie. A really, really, really great movie. Woody Harrelson plays her teacher in it. It's a great film. A really, truly great movie. But 13, wow, man, oh, man. I haven't seen that movie since it came out.
I didn't see it because it just looked... It looked a bit much.
It was.
It looked a little too... You know, after school special.
No. It was pretty intense. And Holly Hunter played the mother. It was Evan Rachel Wood.
Yeah.
And Nikki, the girl that
was the actual girl, right?
Yeah. Evan Rachel Wood played Holly Hunter's daughter, who was hanging out with this girl, Nikki something.
Right, but that Nikki girl was the actual person.
Nikki
wasn't
Reed.
It?
Nikki Reed. I think so.
She was the one who wrote the story, or it's her story.
It was her story, yeah. It was directed by a woman. I can't remember who directed it. But
I just know they get, like, nose rings.
Catherine Hardwicke directed it, who, if I'm not mistaken, would go on to direct the Carrie remake. Chloe Moretz. There's a teenage movie for you, Carrie.
Oh, yeah.
You go to the prom, man. That's fun. Mm-hmm. Little pig's blood on you. Kill a bunch of people. Flip John Travolta in his car.
I mean, the blood's not going to come out.
That's...
It's going to set. Ruined dress.
Ruined
Thanks a
dress.
Lot, guys.
Ruined her dress. Let's see. How about Superbad?
Yeah.
Superbad was funny. I haven't seen it in a long time. I remember liking it.
Right.
And I liked. I thought that Seth Rogen and Bill Hader as the two cops were hilarious.
Yeah, they're really good.
I thought they were. I think they were really funny.
I always do the. You remember the part where they were high?
What part where they were high?
No, they were high
the
in
cops?
Like one part. No.
Jonah Hill and
yeah,
Michael Cera,
and they're in there, or they're drunk or high, or
when they're laying in the sleeping bags.
Yeah,
together? Yeah.
I always do that to me. I go boop.
Oh, do you? Yeah, that was a funny movie, man. That was a very funny movie. We've got, let's see, Juno is on the list.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. A breakout performance from Ellen Page, who has not really done a lot of great stuff lately. She was in the Flatliners remake, which there was no need. Talking about...
Right, again.
No need.
Well, that was a sequel, wasn't it?
No, it's a remake.
I thought it was a sequel because it had been like they were taking it from there.
Oh,
from what had been done.
Oh, I didn't see it. Eric reviewed it and hated it.
Yeah, I thought it was a sequel.
Well, you know, it's weird.
It was the jumping off from
because it's weird because I know Kiefer Sutherland is in it, and I asked, when Eric reviewed it, I'm like, Kiefer Sutherland is in it. He's like, yeah. I said, does he play the same part that he played in the original?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I don't know, I can't tell. Like, that's how bad the movie was. He didn't know who the character was that Kiefer Sutherland played. That's how bad it was. Let's see what else we got here.
Oh, there's a Jawbreaker.
Oh, that was a good one. Rose McGowan.
Yeah.
Who else was in that?
And that blonde woman who... I've seen her in other things, and I can't remember her name.
Rose McGowan.
High-pitched tone. Oh, she does a voice in Archer. Greer, what's her first name?
Oh, Judy Greer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She's in it.
Rebecca Gayhart?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what Dan told me in the ear. It's not me being smart. It's Dan, my smart producer, saving me. Yeah, I haven't seen that one in a long time.
Yeah, it's
Jawbreaker.
Been a while.
It's been a long time since I saw that one. That was like 1999, maybe? Something along those lines? Yeah. All right. Can't Hardly Wait is now on the list, too.
Yes.
And I really love that movie. It's, you know, and I can't stand, what's her face?
Which one?
Jenna
Jennifer Love Hewitt?
No, I love her. Jenna Elfman? She plays the angel in it. Remember she's dressed like an angel and she's talking to Ethan Embry and like giving him advice and stuff?
Wait, I don't remember that part.
Seriously? When she wants to
like
use the
real
phone?
One?
No, well, she's dressed like an angel.
Oh, she's just dressed like
it. Yeah, she's dressed like an angel. She's walking down the street, and she gives advice to Ethan Embry about that.
Oh, yeah, vaguely.
And she's, like, trying to use the phone, and he's out in the middle. He's just kind of sitting on his car.
Yeah.
And she comes over, and then she gives him a big, long speech about what she should do.
She's a stripper?
She was a stripper, yes. That's why she was dressed like an angel, because she had a gig. No, she was going to strip as an angel. Yeah. That's what it was.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a good movie. Can't hardly wait. Good movie. All right, Esmeralda. Hey, you know, tomorrow we're going to have an author on who wrote a book about the 100 best cartoon characters ever.
Oh.
And we're going to talk about that. Okay.
Very nice.
Two for Tuesday. We'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
All right. The news is coming up next right here on 720 WGN.